Hello, this is Jim McKeith, and you're listening to a special combined episode of Rim Objects Radio and the podcast at Delphi.org. This was recorded yesterday live at Delphi Taga here in Berlin. We sat down with a number of the speakers and presenters there and just talked about what's going on, what everybody's up to. It's a pretty interesting episode, which is why we decided to combine it onto both podcasts. So if you're listening to this on the podcast at Delphi.org, you might want to check out Rim Objects Radio at rimobjects.com/radio, and vice versa, visit delphi.org. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Intersimony, or David I, and I'm here in Berlin, Germany at the Delphi Taga.
Hi, my name is Sebastian Inkta. I'm developer evangelist for Rim Objects software, and we are here on the Delphi Taga in Berlin.
Hi, my name is Danny. I'm also in Berlin at Delphi Taga 2010, and I'm managing DelphiPraxis.net.
He is also Danny, Daniel Margin. I'm also from Germany, and who I am, I don't know.
Delphi expert.
Yeah, therefore Delphi expert and developer experts.
So thanks, David. Sure. Delphi experts. So yeah, you forget.
I do my best.
Jim McKeith from Rim Objects here in Berlin with everyone else. Have a good time.
And Mark Hoffman, Chief Architect at Rim Objects, and guess where I am? I'm in Berlin.
Hey, we are all in Berlin.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, that's great.
What are you doing? While we're here, we should record a podcast.
That's an excellent idea.
What about that?
So it's just a bunch of developers hanging out in the room here. We have a lot of developers in this building as well for the day, coming from all over Germany, which is it's great. This morning I started by just opening things up, talking about what's new in Delphi XE and Delphi Prism XE and Rad Studio XE, all the kinds of things that that developers can leverage, building multi-tier, building cloud-based computing, integrating products together, building desktop applications and so on. It was fun to start the thing off, and then the rest of the developers are learning technologies and techniques all day long.
Yeah, great.
Great. We had this is actually day three, I guess. We had 2 days pre-conference. I don't know if that is it all the same event, Delphi?
Yeah, it's basically the same event.
That was a little bit mixture on the first day. We mixed iPhone development, Xcode, Mono develop, and so on, and showed basics first and how to handle that, and then we are calling business logic from a Delphi server. The business logic server, my God. And we use different techniques, so we showed how you can do it by Delphi, the middleware, and then we go to the data abstract server from Rim Objects, hey, friends, and showed how easy it is to connect the worlds together, because the iPhone, you have not running big databases, so you call your business logic the middleware, and with data abstract was wonderful, and because the client implementation, you know that, you have it on iOS, on Delphi Prism, the .NET framework, blah, blah, blah. It was great. And on the second day, it was full booked, and it was over 50 people and talked about great stuff. First session was from Daniel Wolf, Delphi Praxis. What you talked about?
I was talking about software usability, about the reasons for having usability or the reasons not having usability.
Not usability.
We are talking about design guidelines, and later we are talking about usability testing, how to prepare a test, how to conduct a test, and how to analyze your data.
Yeah, it was a great session. I also learned a lot about how to design, and he showed great examples, tests from the web, Microsoft, like the Rim Bus, what was the history, how it was built.
We were talking about Firefox version 4 having his tab sheets on the top, in contrast to version 3.5 having the tabs more.
What was the name? Paul Fitt?
Paul Fitt.
Yeah, with the edge, it's the best, because the mouse, you can move in on the edge, left, top, it's stopping automatic. That's the best reason of the buttons.
It's called the law of Fitt, and he said the corners of your screen are basically endless, because you cannot miss them.
Yeah, it's like the mile high bar.
Yeah.
The same reason why the Mac, they have the menu on the top, so you can just, yeah. You just go up and you hit
it's
it.
It's a start button by Windows, it's the left corner, you have to press start to close the application, the operating system, okay, start, close, wait a while. Yeah, it was great. On the second session, we talked about
RTI.
Oh yeah, RTTI in Delphi, what's new, we show the basics and then new features also. So we have manipulated a class, a instance.
Yeah, we were using the new introduced virtual method, interception methods of Delphi XE.
By the way,
that sounds interesting.
Barry Kelly, thanks for the one patch.
Yeah, yeah. and a great blog post as well, Barry. It was a great blog post, I think, last week.
Yeah. He's a great designer, compiler, or David.
I think we love Barry. I mean, I think the other good thing is that all the things that have been added by the compiler team over the last couple versions to give Delphi native code developers many of the same things that are in Delphi Prism for doing reflection and doing dynamic programming, the things that we can take advantage of both with tools but in our own programs to interrogate more what's happening inside the objects and the rich type information so that you can be just more flexible in the way you're building business objects, you're building applications, and accessing interfaces and methods that you want to do things with. I think it's come a long way, and there's always more to be done, of course.
Yeah, it's good to start seeing more movement in the compiler again. I mean, it's been pretty stable and unchanging for a while, so it's good to see more things happening there.
And then this morning I also did just a sneak peek of the starting point of the 64-bit native code compiler with the 64-bit RTL, and then some discussions about, we have even more plans for future compilers as well. We have lots of different platforms and devices that we want to do development for, and many of them have different kinds of chips besides Intel chip. And so we need to make sure that Delphi developers can get to the platforms and devices that they want to get to in all the different ways, whether it's in native code, managed code, or I was just in a session here where you can mix the best of both worlds with RamObjects Hydra. So you can connect interfaces and components regardless of where they are, because ultimately, give me an interface and give me a method call and I can do things with it.
I have a question for you. I know this is in the roadmap, but is next 64-bit or is next the Delphi for Mac, or is it not?
So as I mentioned this morning, it's both. So we'll have 64-bit Delphi and 32-bit Macintosh are being finished up for testing for next year.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
So both. And then more compilers to come in the future.
So both of those are going to be in the next 3 days.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then other compiler
stuff.
And then the other compiler work that's being worked on as well to deal with additional platforms as we move along through the years.
Okay. So we got a couple more people joining us. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Arvid Winkelstorff. I'm a member of the Indie Mercury team and joined Delphi Days in Berlin for a conference about HTTP service.
Okay. Hey, you're in Berlin. We are in Berlin.
It's amazing that we just happen to bump into each other here.
Exactly. Yeah. And
well, you guess we have still yet another guy.
Yeah.
Right now in Berlin.
I'm Uwe Schuster from Project Jedi, and I'm a member since 2003, and I'm one of the lead developers or maintainers of China with VCS. And since I am a member of the Delphi SBN team since...
Yeah, Subversion!
...and six, and work closely together with Andrew Padero on the Subversion integration for XE.
Okay,
yeah, Uwe and Dave Wilhelm over in Scotts Valley work together, and now the source code for the Subversion that was added by you guys is up in SourceForge?
Yes, it is.
And is the Jedi BCS, is that completed, or is that still being worked on?
That's still being worked on.
Okay.
I had very less time in the last months, and I am an administrator of this Red Subversion Insight project on SourceForge, and extending it. Currently doing bug fixes and adding new features. which might be in the next version of Red Studio, might not be. That depends on you guys.
Well, that depends on, yeah, we'll figure out how to make that happen. But I think the best thing is that all the Subversion integration source code is up on SourceForge, so people can go there and see what's happening. They can add functionality and help Uwe and help Dave out as well. That'd be great.
Yeah, and hopefully others are going to like create integration for different version control systems as well.
So, yeah. Having the enhanced API and then also having two examples, Subversion and Jedi VCS examples, will encourage people. We did Subversion first because it was the one most in the survey said they were already using under the covers that they wanted integrated in, but there's big fans for other version control systems, you know. So there's Git and Mercurial, I think, were the two most vocal of the people.
I have already done some tests with it.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, great. Using the command line client and have given something to test to the field test, like blame integration.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So it's just going to encourage more people to do things. Some people have their own, they've built something of their own, or maybe they're using a commercial, something like Perforce or whatever. They might have other things. Or in our old days, there was the Star Team as well, which I guess is part of Micro Focus and Borland. So that's, and Final Builder supports, has integration, which is included in Delphi XE, also supports all those version control systems in the Final Builder interface. And Delphi Prism has Subversion integration as well.
Yeah, yeah. We use the ENG SVN.
Yeah.
By the way, Final Builder, it's really cool that you include it now. Some standard version of Final Builder that's really kind of AQTime, one of my most favorite tools for analyze performance and resources and memory and so on. That's really great, AQTime.
And the best thing is that people already have like commercial versions, professional versions of AQTime or server version of Final Builder. It just works. You know, it sees those instead and uses them.
Yeah, and we love Final Builder. I mean, I don't know where we would be without Final Builder.
Great tool. Yeah.
One of the things that's the best about being at conferences like this is getting to meet, you know, Uwe behind the Jedi VCS and all the other tools, and Arvid behind Indie and everything, you know, it's just like, you know, and Daniel behind Praxis, you know, you hear about all these sites use these tools, and then you come to the conference, oh, you're the guy that did that, wow, that's great, so this is exciting.
To me, it's part of the community, part of the ecosystem that surrounds you know, the products that we make, and the products RAM Objects. The RAM Objects is great, they work on Oxygen Compiler that we use for Delphi Prism, but also all the tools that you have that you sell to Delphi and Delphi Prism developers and other developers for different platforms as well. It's just part of the whole thing that is bigger than just we make a compiler, we make the IDE. I mean, it's really, there's so many tools and there's so many components and there's so many experts around the world that helps. If anybody's listening to this podcast and they have a problem or they need something, whether it's a component, a tool, whatever, there are people and companies and even open source and free components that are out there, and there's Delphi experts all around the world. When I hear someone can't find someone to help them finish or start a project, I just say, just go ask the community. You'll get lots of help from everybody.
Yeah,
Delphi developers are a big family.
Yeah.
That's really great.
That is the main reason because we're here. I mean, this is a community event. It's community driven. And the first Delphi Days, like 6 years ago, were born out of the idea that the guys, I only read what you write in the forums, and you only read my answers. Who is this guy that's right on the other side of the PC? And that was the idea for the first Delphi Days.
Yeah, the Delphi Days has one really great thing. It's not a big commercial thing. So it's focused on the member of the forums, so it's for students and young people who are in school, very easy, very cheap, the price is so low, it's also with sponsors and so on, this show is running and so on, and it's really great. I think the most important is sitting together, watching some sessions, it's one part, and the second part is
being on Google, talking
to not only see in Skype or in the forums or wherever, the most important to see the people live and to communicate and brainstorming and creating new ideas. That's
very fun. Having a good time.
Right away together.
Yeah.
Yesterday evening, we had captured the ship.
We booked a whale ship.
The whale.
The Moby Dick.
And
it was very fun having about 100 developers, Delphi developers, on that ship, having a barbecue dinner. It was a dinner.
Yeah.
And traveling through Berlin. On the river. On the river, of course. Where else on the ship?
Maybe under.
Could be a Star Trek spaceship.
Yes.
In the future, yes.
Spaceship.
NCC 7801.
USS Delphi, Francis.
USS Delphi.
Is that what we had about 100 people there last night?
Sorry?
Yeah, about 100 people last night?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, yeah.
Our notice is it's a good turnout here. So.
Plus, everybody's crammed together on the ship, so it's a natural way to network and talk to each other. You know, here we're on different floors and different sessions where people split out and then come back together again. There, we were all crammed in. I mean, you could go up on deck and hide and smoke cigarettes or whatever, I suppose, as well. As long as you're not under the bridges, there were these very low bridges in parts of the river in Berlin. I think the captain of the ship, right, the pilot of the ship, sits up in this wheelhouse, but even his little room
wheelhouse
went down, had to have these motor-driven chain things to go down so it could fit under the bridges as well.
And we all had to sit down.
And they told everybody sit down or crouch down to make sure that we didn't...
Yeah, it's a danger city, Berlin.
And there was one bridge that was the last one on the way back to the docks where the antenna of the house in front of the steering house just banged on the head of the bridge and it made ding, 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 ding. You actually know that antenna is... not higher than my head. Gonna duck.
Let's go back to Delphi.
Of course, as developers, we use our head and our hands, so you want to protect both of those.
Yeah.
Unless we use our feet.
Interesting was also we talked yesterday about design patterns in Delphi. We showed the people look over the border. The most Delphi developers we know is our chaos developers, have an idea, start a new application, start coding. And we showed them, hey, there are a lot of standard problems in the world. It was very interesting that some people are working with patterns and you are really interested and, you know, all the golf is all patterns, but it's still existing and solve your problem. And we showed with the together integration, design patterns, how you can make a singleton factory pattern and so on. The last one was middleware, DataSnap, and DeepExpress, and then we showed the integration, how to create with Delphi. It was, to create with Delphi data abstract server and deploy the data to Visual Studio, Delphi Prism, .NET Framework, and to Delphi Win32, and it was great. I think it's a great tool. You're an evangelist of RevObjects, you have to say, but we are not private. Come on, do you like it?
Seriously, actually, one of the biggest things, since joining RevObjects and learning about all the tools, is like, I can't believe I wasn't using these before. These are great, because a lot of tools, it's like, oh, if I'd only known I could have done this, I would have saved me so much time before. One of the things that's great is in Data Abstract, the DA SQL, so you can actually write your SQL in the client, and it runs it against the schema at the middle tier instead of going to the database. And so many times I've been writing, your multi-tier solution before. And you're like, if I could only write some SQL, I could get this job done. But you can't. And so I think that's a trick feature.
The cool thing is, what's really interesting, and nobody before have figured out, is when I'm writing a scheme in the middleware, you have only access to the customers in Germany or whatever.
Right.
So you cannot say select star from customers. I want to have all customers. The schema override the rare condition you only get from Germany.
Exactly.
And those who have OpenSQL, so you can extract all the data and collect all the data from the database, or including the data which is not allowed to read. And it's an open hacking hole or a trap or whatever. And that's really cool what Data Abstract have done there. It was really fun. Yeah. And today the Delphi days, Also, great sessions. But I saw.
Oh,
you've seen a lot of sessions so far. What are you talking about? I had only a few drinks so far.
Yeah, it is different here in Berlin, or in Germany in general, but I think there's more sessions to come as well.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, we're at lunchtime.
We're only halfway.
If anybody needs to eat, you know, step out and come back, that's fine. So I don't want you to pass out.
It's sad that we just have more time, because I'd really love to do a session on, like, iPhone development with Delphi Prism, or directly Mac development with Delphi Prism, which would be great, but just couldn't fit in because we
have so much
not a lot of time here for this event. But going on the next conferences, maybe talking about such topics.
Yeah. But you're doing the iPhone with Prism at Econ next week, right?
Or in two weeks.
Yeah.
Going to talk about cross-platform development in general with Prism, because I think it's a great way to start with cross-platform for Delphi developers. Going doing the step from native just to .NET and taking .NET or Mono as a single platform that's beyond all your other programming, and this platform can take you everywhere you want, like on the iPhone with MonoDroid, on Android phones that can take you directly on the Mac or on Linux, and if you consider the web as a platform too, this can take you with ASP.NET also on the web, and you can leverage all your skills you have in the Delphi syntax in Pascal, which is awesome. That's the German thing here. That's quite awesome when you're going to maintain your software. You can read the code like English, and that's so great when you're going to work into code you've never seen before. You go, you read it, you understand it, and leveraging this and bringing that on every platform that is available on there.
Yeah, that's
so great for Delphi.
So you talk about the web, and if you talk about the web, I think on TCP/IP, and if we have now Mr. Indy here.
Exactly.
So what's going on?
You knew my intention.
Let's segue there, Daniel. Thank you, Mr. Expert. Do you have any questions about currently we're heading up towards Indy 11. We have the first planning for moving all the deprecated code base regarding .NET code in Indy. There's a large code base having a lot of if-devs, a lot of conditional compilation code, going to reduce the size of the whole library, make it easier to use, and by reducing the package cores, we have so much directories and so much structure integrated like core, super core protocols and system. It's probably easier for the developers to use for the indie developers, but not for the users we have. Like the buyers of Abacadero products. So we're going to reduce this to a single package base, having a runtime and design time libraries with added VCL version, compiler version to the packages. And we're also going to try to get a documentation again.
We had it for
many, many years, and I previously spoke with David I about that we're going to head up probably getting some help from the Mercadero folks in creating a new documentation project for Indy, having some kind of commercial usable product again. And the most important thing for me is to create some kind of installer, to have a setup base used in, to deploy Indy, like it's done for Rave and the setup of Red Studio. So we have a possibility to create updates, stable releases by introducing unit tests again for platform base. And one important point is to reduce, if we are moving towards Indy 11, we're not going to introduce so many changes as it has done before for when switching from Indy 9 to Indy 10. We need to keep the interfaces as many as possible compatible to reduce the work when converting a project created with Indy 10.
There was a big problem from 9 to 10. A lot of people were very frustrated.
And they hesitated to switch afterwards because many people told them Indy 9 is the best, Indy 9 is stable, don't move to Indie 10 at any purpose or any time. And it's changed with the introduction of Unicode. We had a lot of changes inside Indie. And the first Indie 10 is not the Indie 10 we're currently heading or we currently are at. And the version ship was the actual Delphi XE release is totally different from the version we shipped with Delphi 2006 or 2007. And one important thing is when we're thinking about cross-platform possibilities to remove all the ANSI strings, all the simple strings from Indie and introduce a back-end Unicode support for all platforms. So the main string property will be Unicode.
Good.
So we're going to prepare a roadmap next weeks and create a new idea about and freeze the development of Indie 10 just for some bug fixes with the updates in the SVN and think about getting a new structure. What we are seeking are volunteers, documentation help for documentation in Indie, and probably in other areas. So don't hesitate to contact us. We have news groups at Embarcadero forums. We have the QC to report bugs at Embarcadero. And we have our own websites. Currently, we're also preparing moving the project to something like CodePlex from Microsoft or Google Code.
So what is the website for the people who don't know the URL?
The official website is indieproject.org at the moment. And we're trying to keep those domains and probably redirect later time to Microsoft CodePlex or Google Code. Yeah. We already set up a project there and have issue trackers filled with about a bunch of 100 items to be done. And next time review the RFCs, review the standards, introduce some kind of testing for it so the people don't have the feeling of getting an open source project when buying Red Studio. So I have the feeling they're getting components we'd like it's done in .NET and C#. So I have a stable and not bug-free. That won't be possible. Every software has it. But it's a good direction, I think.
But you don't write bug-free code?
No.
But if you're listening to this podcast, not only check out the Indie project, but like go help.
Yes,
not just great, but go help.
Yeah, I was going to say also for your documentation, you might talk to Mike at Rim Objects because he has a system set up that does the wiki, so it actually generates the headers from the wiki from the compile of the source code.
So that might be something you could reuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have now Mark here live, you cannot ask him. You work with him together. If you have a list with a question, what's going on with Rim Object? What new products are in the pipeline?
We can talk about rebirth.
I suppose we can. So one of the big things we're doing right now is looking at the core compiler for Oxygen and doing some rejuvenation there. I mean, compiler has been growing for like 6 or 7 years now almost, so we're basically starting from the ground up, trying to get the compiler a little more leaner, re-architecting it a little bit, and in the process getting like things like better error reporting, all of it, like more precise errors, better integration with those errors in the IDE, things like that. We're also working on a pretty exciting project we can't talk about yet, which is called Project Cooper. And I think
so we know the name.
You know the name, yes. I think that's going to be very, very exciting when we can announce it, probably early next year, but right now we can't yet.
What we're also doing with Delphi Prism, Brian is currently at, we're doing a lot of stuff in the IDE, in Visual Studio. What we have already in Mono develop is the error in the code, where you see not the error list beyond your code, and when you double click on the error, you see it in the code highlighted. We right now have the error display in the code. We're going to look into bringing that to Visual Studio. What we currently have is marker support, like you know from some other from other tools you can buy and integrate in to extend your productivity. You can drop markers in your code and press escape and jump back to the marker. So I'm here, I drop the marker, I go elsewhere in my code, do something, jump back. We have that in. So there's going to be a lot of stuff that enhances your productivity within the next.
The idea is that Visual Studio 2010 has this new editor based on WPF. So that allows you, in theory, to do lots of fancy stuff right in the editor. So basically, we're starting playing around with that. I mean, markers is like the most minimal thing you can do. Just draw a little thing there, and you can go back to it. But then, as Sebastian said, we're going to do the inline errors. So you actually, you see the line highlighted in like red or yellow when there's errors or warnings.
And like directly right in E-code, not only you need to compile it to get your error list or warning list, but directly when you code it, you see the error, what is wrong with that code, what should be fixed, and if you have, that's the kind of stuff we're looking into. It. That's not right now there, but when you have one error that most probably causes other errors that follow that, and to combine that to detect this error causes this and the cause of this error here in the middle of your code,
for example,
is in the front of it.
You might have an error like, I don't know, duplicate overload if you have two methods with the same signature, and it could actually like draw an error between those two. You say, the duplicate is actually right here, and you just click it and jump there. And in general, we're just like looking at different things we can do in the editor beyond just showing text there, just putting more stuff right in the editor that's going to help you make sense of your code, be it structural highlighting, things like that.
Cool.
And I guess other than Delphi, other than Delphi Prism, I guess the most exciting thing we're working on right now is data abstract for Xcode. We're expanding to have a native scheme modeler. And native tool support on the Mac so that developers just using the Mac can work without requiring a Windows VM or anything of that sort.
Well, and in the summer release, we had the new project wizards for DA for .NET.
Exactly.
And then in the next release, we'll have the new project wizards for Delphi Native.
Exactly, yeah. So basically those exact same wizards we have for .NET now are going to come to DA Delphi as well.
And those wizards are really nice.
Yes.
They're a lot more flexible.
Big difference from what we had before, yeah.
So now we're in bad time now. We have to go to the sessions.
Oh, is it time for sessions?
Don't we still have 10 minutes?
So, David, do you go to Rome or whatever tomorrow? Yeah.
Just going to visit more developers. I'm doing 13 cities in 15 weekdays. So I go
That's
to Rome,
insane.
Washington, D.C., and Houston as the last three cities. But it's just, I think it's, you know, the team works really hard all the time in all the R&D centers around the world. They don't always have the chance to get out, so I'm sometimes the eyes and ears of what's going on out there, and I have that luxury of being able to hang out with developers and listen to them. So actually next Monday, well, it's Monday morning in California, we're having a worldwide R&D all-hands meeting, and I'm going to be calling in from Rome to give the teams, here's what's going on out there. This is what people are saying, here's what they're asking, here's issues they're having, here's what they'd like to see in the future, because, again, they're oftentimes heads down working on the different products and projects that are going on inside of Parcadero. So it's myself and Matthias Eising, who's here, and Paul Bukowski, and Gordon Lee in China, and John Castor, and Anders Olsen, and Adriana Lanus, you know, all the guys all over the world, Luke Fang, Malcolm Groves, Jason Folks. We're all out there, and we're funneling everything back. So
that's a lot of moving, a lot of interface XE roadshow starting on.
XE starts
Netherlands.
Christine's going to be
Russia.
At the Interbase in Firebird in
Russia.
Moscow in Russia next week or the week after. We're out there. We're hitting 70 cities around the world just in September, not counting webinars. And mainly it's to get out and listen. Is to listen to what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do next? Back end, should the new compiler do first? Should it do ARM chips? Should it do Java bytecode? Should it do .NET bytecode? Should it? No,
you better not.
No, we
are,
no, I just said that we have Delphi Prism.
You've
for
been
that.
There,
we have Oxygen to do all that for us, which is great. No, it's just what else should we do? I mean, we have the roadmap is out there publicly. The next project is Project Pulsar. If you need certain technologies, join the field test.
Yeah.
You know, just contact us. Contact us through newsgroups. Send David I at marketer.com. Contact whoever you know inside the company. Say you want to be part of it. We'll sign you up, and you can help us out in testing and suggesting. And ultimately, when we're doing field tests these days, to get the next build of a field test, you give us feedback through surveys, and you ask us if certain parts of the product are ready. And if they're ready, and everybody says they're ready, and we also think they're ready, then they get in the next major release of the product. And if they're not ready, then we hold back, which is what we did this year. But the projects move forward as well. So just keep pinging us and keep giving us lots of challenges and great feedback, and suggestions are always good as well. And if you don't like something, Keep it yourself. No, just kidding. So we don't know. Tell us that.
You can talk in 2 weeks, and then you're doing Delphi Experts in February? And
yeah, we are planning in the U.S. two shows, but we will announce next week about that.
All right, stay tuned for that. And what else? SD is coming up in the Netherlands.
Yeah, Jim Turney. Jim Turney is going to be there.
And I'm going to be there as well.
Jim Turney worked on Datasnap, on the new Datasnap. Jim Turney is going to be at SDC in the Netherlands in a few weeks, and Andrea, Anil, and I go to South America next month. In October, we go to Brazil. Big Delphi community in Brazil.
Hmm.
We have a big conference there. We're going to go to Argentina and Colombia.
How many miles did you have on your flight card?
I have a lot of miles. But I also use them, so.
Yeah, that's good.
I sent, when is it? At the end of this month, I'm sending six computer science students to a conference in Atlanta. From California. They're going to the Women in Computer Science Conference. I'm sending six undergraduate college students to go there and network and learn from other women in computing. It's one of the things that we're here at a developer conference, and if we went downstairs and all the people there, I think maybe there's not that many women.
Yeah.
Well, there's a baby that's crying, but maybe.
Yeah.
But in any case, you know, I'm using a lot of my miles, a bunch of them for that time, to encourage more women to stay active and to network and help get a little more diversity. But ultimately, having good programmers of all kinds around the world is a great thing. And I think we're all into that as well. That's why roadshows, conferences like this one, open source projects, it brings everybody together. And we can always use more of that.
Looks like we're about out of time. I think people try to get in there.
So that was our podcast, live from the Delphi Days here in Berlin, Germany.
Hey, we're in Berlin.
So, bye from Berlin.
Yep. There you go. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. Bye. Thank you.
You've been listening to a combined episode of Rim Objects Radio and the podcast at Delphi.org. For more episodes or more information, please visit Delphi.org. or rimobjects.com/radio.